If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. It said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Years ago, a minister told a story about two boys at the scene of an earthquake. One of them picked up a piece of mortar from a fragile building that had just collapsed. And he got the mortar in his hands and began to put some pressure on it, and it crumbled in his hands. And he made this statement, "There's something wrong with the mixture. The material was not equal to the emergency. That something is wrong with the mixture is evident today in the things that we buy. One would think, judging by all the advertisements, that our products would be the best ever produced, the best ever in material and construction and performance. But I think all of us know that have a lot of modern gadgets and machines and appliances that this is not so. They're made of stuff that does not stand the test of wear and tear. They've been made to wear out quickly in order that you might buy the next model. I'm going to tell, I was over at Rod's shop, body shop the other day. And he had a 1950 or something Nash Rambler. Not Nash Rambler, it was Kaiser Frazier of all cars. And I remember when I was growing up, I worked in a parking garage, and I can remember driving and parking some of those. But I came over, and it was just the hull, and I began kind of knocking on it, you know, and feeling of it, and I'm telling you, you couldn't bend that with a sledgehammer. It was so thick. I can go out to my car and I can hit it like that and I'll put a dent in it. There's something wrong with the mixture. Something is wrong with the mixture, not only in what we buy, but what we build. You have admired some of the old solid structures such as churches and courthouses. Those foundation pillars and walls are built to endure. In remodeling these old structures, they found that the hand-hewn sleepers and beams were as firm and solid as they were 200 years ago. There's nothing wrong with the mixture in those days. In writing across a bridge, a group of preachers outside of Washington, D.C., as they crossed the bridge, someone made a statement. Funny thing about this old bridge, when they started to build a new one, they found that the old foundations were better than anything they could build today. So they built a new bridge on the old foundations. There was nothing wrong with the mixture. When one thinks or looks at the original copies of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States of America, he is convinced that those historic documents were put together very well. Those men took time in order to complete a masterpiece. We wonder whether they could have produced what they did if they had been under the binding glare of modern scrutiny and publicity. You remember Abraham Lincoln? He wrote the Gettysburg Address himself. It was a speech that only took 6 minutes, but it still endures to today. It was not one of those speeches where somebody had to keep talking as if they were on television or radio and they had nothing more to say. He lived before the age of ghostwriters. No wonder there's no body in so many of the speeches that we hear from politicians today. We're not turning out character that can stand the wear and the tear of life. And it shows up in premarital sex, the divorce rate, because men and women lack the integrity to uphold high moral values and to respect the marriage contract. It is revealed in a high crime rate in juvenile delinquency. We live during an evil time when it seems like if anybody's winning, it's not the Lord, it's the devil and his imps. But we know that's not true. Reminds me of a wealthy father who sent his son to a fashionable school. And when the boy was later expelled, the irate father wrote a letter to the principal. And he said this, "I sent my son there in order for you to make a man out of him." The principal replied, "When you didn't send us anything to start with, we can't send you anything back." We cannot seem to entertain ourselves anymore. We have to pay professionals in order to do it. Americans are constantly running away from themselves. You know, I can remember when folks would go and they'd just take a walk and they'd go out into the country, maybe by an old tree, and they'd sit down and they'd reflect and they would contemplate. It seems we don't have time to do that anymore. We don't take time to walk, to be alone, to think, to reflect. Thousands cannot sleep without artificial aids, suicides, insanity, nervous breakdowns are commonplace in this world today. And it all adds up to this. There's something wrong with the mixture. In keeping with the times, we have a cheap Christianity. You remember David, the great king, said, "I'll not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." The shame and the reproach of the old rugged cross means little more than just a line in a hymn book to many. But I'm here to tell you there was an old rugged cross one day. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ carried that tree, that rugged cross up Golgotha's hill. And when he got to the top, they flung him down on that cross, and that burly soldier took those three spiked nails and began to drive them in his hands and his feet and fastened him to the cross. They raised that cross up and they dropped it in a hole, and when they did, it ripped and it tore at the flesh. Jesus could have called for 10,000 angels to come and deliver him and set him free, but he did not, because he loved you and me. Jesus Christ was hanging there on the cross of Calvary. He cries out to his Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They came with that spear. They thrust it up under his rib cage into the heart, and water and blood began to flow. But all that started a crimson river that men and women, boys and girls ever since have washed themselves and made themselves clean and whole in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, and that river of blood still flows to those that will by faith take Christ as Savior. He'll wash all their sins away to where that we have forgiveness and cleansing of sin. The average church member sings songs like this: "Am I a soldier of the cross? But if Uncle Sam's soldiers went about the business as we do most of the Lord's army, they would end up in the guardhouse." There's so much to be done, so little time to do it. And it seems like folks don't have an interest in doing the Lord's work. Paul used athletic terms in order to describe the Christian experience. The athletes of the world would discipline themselves in order that they might win the race, that they might compete and be victorious in order to win a corruptible crown. But when you stop and consider most of the sloppy living of professing Christians who claim to be running the greatest of races, fighting the greatest of battles, and working for an eternal prize, he can only hang his head in shame. Paul tells us, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." Man's judgment means this is man's day today. And like I said earlier, sometimes it seems that we're on the losing side. Sometimes it seems like the old devil is just working a number on us. But I'm here to tell you that I've looked at the back of the book, and we're going to win. I'm here to tell you this morning that this is man's day, but the day of the Lord is soon to come. The day of the Lord, where it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. I'm here to tell you that he's going to win. They talked about the Apostle Paul. I'm sure some of them said something like this about Paul. "Well, you know, Paul started out well. He sat under the great teacher Gamaliel, and he was one that had such promise and such hope. But look at him now. He goes to jail every so often. They've stoned him." But you know, they forgot those contemporaries that said all of that. They still remember the Apostle Paul, and we still have his writings in the book, God's book. I'm here to tell you this morning that we as God's people are so blessed to have a Savior that loves us like he does. This generation wants privilege without responsibility, the crown without the cross, the sweet without the bitter, the delights without the duty. We want the advantages of America without shouldering the responsibility of being Americans. Brother, our country's in a mess. I don't have to tell you that this morning. But God's people need to stand up and be counted for. God's people need to be righteous and live righteous and just be faithful and point the way to salvation to the whole world. Brother, there are folks that drive by this church every Sunday and just keep on driving. It's our job to reach them. We want the privilege of marriage while we dodge the responsibilities of the home. Young people want the benefits of home without obeying their parents. Everybody joins church, but a corporal's guard does the work and pays all the bills. It's been said that 3/4 of the congregation of any church, if you had to depend upon them, the church would shut. I can tell you that's not true here. And I praise God for that. But to say that we're all where we ought to be, no, we're not. God's still working on us. And he wants us to draw closer to him. And we've got to work at it. We've got to work at it. It costs a bill with gold, silver, and precious stones. So we use wood, hay, and stubble. We may get by now, but the day will declare it, and the fire test will reveal it. We shall be happy then if we have built well. Listen, we're building for eternity. I'm here to tell you that this old world is coming to an end. We live in a day you can't hardly get folks to come to church anymore. You know, we do everything we know to do to get folks to come to church and be faithful, and it seems like it's almost impossible. Thank God for the corporal's guard that is faithful. Without you, this church or any church would not survive without the church within the church. If we are built wisely and well, you see, when we view the edifice of a fireproof life, we may ask, Lord, where did that gold rafter come from? And he'll say, that's when the devil told you, you can stop praying. It's time to go to bed. You don't have to worry, but you continued to pray and you prayed through. Where did I get that silver beam? That is when the Lord said you were reconciled to your offended brother. You see, I'm here to tell you that God takes note of what we do. And one day he'll reward God's children. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, where did those rubies and sapphires come from? They were the souls that you led to Christ. They were the individuals that you pointed and you led to salvation in Jesus Christ. Babe Ruth once told of a humble preacher he had known. He was a very godly man indeed, he said. Babe said this, I've signed my name on hundreds of baseballs. He wrote his on human hearts. I am called a great home runner, but compared to him, I never made first base. Are you on the foundation of Jesus Christ this morning? Beware lest that great day shall come and shall reveal that something might be wrong with the mixture in your life and mine. Listen, it costs to build with fireproof material, but it pays. Isn't that the good news? It pays. Oh, listen. We're just passing through. And all you've got to do is just look in the mirror and take a picture of 10 or 15 years ago. Compare, you know. Wow, you know. What happened? We're getting older. And I'm telling you what, we're getting ready to go home. And I rejoice in that. Getting ready. There's a song, isn't it? Getting ready, yeah. Getting ready to go home. Are you ready this morning? How about the mixture in your life? Is it what God wants it to be? Let's bow for prayer.